could go down the streets of Chicago and interview people, I would say that probably a good 90% of the people, maybe 80% of the people would call themselves, refer to themselves as Christians. But it doesn't mean they have a walk with God.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, your host, and I am here with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. We're here in the studios of Straight Talk, and we are so excited about this opportunity for Chicagoland like we have never heard of before. Pastor Mark, why are you so excited about this opportunity?
You know, Chicagoland is a big place. Almost 10 million people live in Chicagoland. There's not one single ministry, pastor, effort that's going to reach the entire city. So there's a need for churches, pastors, leaders, ministries to come together for united efforts. It takes a lot of work, and occasionally they pop up. This is one of those opportunities. And we're excited about Explore God Chicago. Explore God Chicago is an opportunity for hundreds of churches. We're hoping for 1,000 churches that will come together in a united effort to preach a series together that's targeting the unchurched, co-workers, neighbors that don't know Christ, and then form small groups that basically present the gospel. We already have a couple hundred churches involved. We're hoping for several hundred churches more for January 2019.
Yeah, and you're going to see on billboards, on radio programs, on TV, on social media, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars that's been invested and given, totally freely given to advance this cause. It's going to be all over the city, and we're praying that that your church would be involved. It'd be such an opportunity to miss if all of this is going on and your church isn't there.
Absolutely. So if you're listening and you're a pastor, I want you to go to exploregodchicago.com and explore it. We'd love to have you be a part of this. If you're listening and you're not a pastor, then maybe you can present it to your pastor and let him know, hey, pastor, can we be involved in this? Exploregodchicago.com. There's no charge that's involved to the churches. This is free. There's resources, but you get to be a part of a bigger Chicago community, the Christian community, reaching out to our city.
In English and in Spanish. Highly customizable. We're really excited about it. Go to exploregodchicago.com and check it out.
Thank you, Pastor Mark, Pastor Josh. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Today, we are in the second half of the last message in our series called Step Up, Living Higher. Pastor Mark's message is called Step Up to a New You, and we are in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Here's Pastor Mark.
Let your conversation always be seasoned with salt, so that people can hear of the grace of God and want more. Now, notice that it says seasoned with salt. I believe that some of us, we go out to be a witness, and when people are around you, listen, you are salt. It's not like you're trying to become salt. You have the presence of Jesus inside of you. When people are around you, there should be a salt-like flavor in your life. In other words, your life should make people want more of God. They may not be able to pinpoint it, but they say, I don't know exactly what it is about that person, but there's something about them that makes me want to be like them. There's a peace about them. There's a joy about them. There's something about them. And if people know that you're a believer, a follower of God, being around you should make people want to be, know more about your God and investigate more your God, because it's God's influence in your life that's changed you. And so people should want to say, hey, I want to be more like you because there's something about you that makes me hungry for God. Let me ask you that question. People around you, if they're hanging around you a little bit, do people get that sense of there's something about them that draws me? Not you're perfect and you have your issues, but there's the presence of God inside of you that makes people hungry for God. I think all of us should be that way. Now, I know some people, when they first come to Christ, you want everybody to hear about Jesus. and you haven't learned what it means to season something with salt, and so you come to Christ, it's the best thing that's happened in your life. You think everybody needs to know about Jesus, and they do. And so you go to your family, you buy a big cross, you hang it on your neck, you get a big Bible, you go to the family party and the birthday party, and you're going up to everybody slapping beers out of their hand and saying, you shouldn't do that, you need the water of life. You put on a Turn or Burn t-shirt, and you show up there, and you're like cornering people in the corner, telling them they need to come to Christ and get baptized and turn, and they're going to hell if they don't, and they need and they're living in sin, and they need to turn around and do everything, and you wonder why where you go, people clear out and they sort of start running for the corners when you show up there and you say, well, I'm just being a bold witness. I'm being salt. No, no, no. You're not seasoning with salt. It's like that sandwich is there and you say, okay, here it goes. Now try eating that. People aren't running from God. You just need to season it a little bit better. Now I'm stuck with this, right? Okay. All right. I know our cleaning crew is going to handle that right there. That's the way it works, right? So some of you, people aren't running from the message, but you need to let the presence of Jesus ooze out of your life. You need to season your conversations with the gentle spirit and love of God. You need to be bold but not obnoxious. You need to be a light but not blind people. You need to season things with salt so they come asking you for more. They need to be able to see that there's something about you that they're asking and wanting to sit and wanting to talk with you, because that's what it means to be salt. And then it tells us, it says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, when you lose your saltiness, you've lost your calling. And I was thinking about this for a minute, and I was thinking about, how do we lose our saltiness? That part of us that makes us have a difference and makes people hunger more for God. Well, I believe that when Christianity has no influence, no preserving effect, that something has gone wrong. When our faith community doesn't attract people from the outside. When our faith community is no longer making a difference. When people aren't coming up showing and saying, I came here because I met so-and-so and their life is different and I want to know about their God. That's why I believe every church, no matter what the size of a church, it should be a growing church, because there should always be people from the outside wanting to know what we have. If you don't see new people, if no one's coming to Christ and no one's getting baptized and people from the street aren't showing up, then I'll show you a church that's lost its saltiness. Sometimes people tell me, Pastor, well, don't you get tired of all the people messes that you have? And no, 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 no. I want messes. You know why I want messes? Because I know that people that haven't grown up in God and haven't grown up in Christ, that there's a lot of messes in their life. And I know that when we're doing our job, that people out there, no matter where they've been or how much they've partied or where they've woken up or haven't woken up or what they've done and haven't gone to church in years, I know that those people, if we're doing our job, people are going to show up to a place like this and say, you know, I'm not a very religious person and I just partied hardy last night, but in my heart, in my soul, I know I need God, and there's something about these people that makes me want more of God. Amen? Now, I believe there's three types of Christians that don't make people thirsty, and this is how we lose our salt. Number one, cosmetic Christians. By this I mean that they're Christians by name only. They're nominal. They're people that were raised in a Christian culture, and on their Facebook status they would say Christian. And when they have to sign a document at the hospital, they would say Christian. But really, there's no difference between them and everybody else out there. It's just their religion. It's not a vibrant, healthy, powerful, living, dynamic relationship. There's a lot of nominal Christians out there, aren't there? If you would go down the streets of Chicago and interview people, I would say that probably a good 90% of the people, maybe 80% of the people would call themselves, refer to themselves as Christians. But it doesn't mean they have a walk with God. So nominal Christians doesn't, there's no salt there. It's just a culture that you have and something that you do once in a while on Sundays, but there's no Jesus life there. And secondly, judgmental Christians. These are Christians that focus on finding fault but not presenting the good news. These are people that are like the Pharisees. They've learned right and wrong, and really their Christianity is about judging people that aren't following the rules, but they're not about the life of Jesus. And so judgmental Christians don't make you want more of God. They make you want to run away from God. There are some people that appear on the news that fall under the category of Christians, and I look at them, they're angry, red-faced, spitting when they speak, condemning everybody. And there's no one, that doesn't make me say, man, I want what they had. It makes me say, whoa, what did they drink? I think when our Christianity is not, there's times when we have to rebuke, and there's times when we have to put on a prophetic voice, but our Christianity needs to be seasoned with love and grace always. Jesus was called a friend of sinners because people understood that he had compassion, that he loved people around them. So when we're nominal Christians, we lose our salt. When we're judgmental Christians, we lose our salt. And thirdly, listen, when we're lukewarm Christians, we lose our salt. When you have lost your spiritual fire and your energy, when you have let your life become more like the world than influencing the world, then you've lost your salt. Some people are Christians and no one around them really knows they're a Christian because they live and act like everybody else does. And if people would be surprised to find out you're a Christian. And the only thing that makes them know that you do anything different than they do is that you come to church on Sunday. Why? Because you're lukewarm. You've lost your fire. You're not really living for God. It's not a relationship. You had a fire up here and you've let the fire die down. And so now that has very little influence on people around you. You've lost your saltiness. And listen to me well. This is huge. When you lose your saltiness, Jesus says you've lost your calling and you've lost your purpose.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk radio message called Step Up to a New You, which is from our current series called Step Up, Living Higher. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Pastor Mark's message, Step Up to a New You.
What happens when salt loses its saltiness? He says it's good for nothing to throw out on the street and be trampled. In other words, if you have no presence of Jesus inside of you, if you're not making people hungry, thirsty for God, if you're not having an influence around you, then you've lost your call. You've lost your purpose. And how can it be made salty again? Jesus asked. Secondly, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Notice he doesn't say, you need to be more light. He says, you're already light. The salt comes into close contact and changes the intrinsic flavor of food. Light illuminates so that people can see things more clearly. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, then Jesus spoke up to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When Jesus was on earth, he called himself the light. When Jesus left, he said to his disciples, now you are the light. When he was in the world, he said, I am the light. When Jesus left, he said, now you are the light. Why? Because inside of you, you have the Holy Spirit now. What Jesus had, you have. And you are the light of the world, he says. And then he says this, listen, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. A community of faith has the power to create a unified light, many lights together combined to form one bright light. Oh, I wish I could preach this. Look up at me for a second. This is so important for us to understand. When we as the church, community of faith, when individuals, you and I, when we get on fire for God, when we start living like He wants us to live, and we start loving each other, helping each other, encouraging each other, and we do it not just as an isolated person, but when we do it together, there's something powerful about us doing it together. Why? If you do it alone, people look at you and say, well, that's a nice person. They must have had a really good mother and father. Well, they're really unique. There's not a lot of people like them. And so they praise you. But when you are a part of a community of faith, and people start seeing that it's not just you, but you have a lot of other people like you that also love people and follow Jesus and are full of grace and care about one another and rise up to make a difference, a city on a hill cannot be ignored. The church for too long has been ignored because our light has not shone strong enough, bright enough. People have ignored the church like it did not exist. But when the church lets their light shine, when the church rises up and starts caring for the poor, when the church rises up and starts tutoring kids, when the church starts helping people get jobs, when they help the widow and the broken, when they help the people that need mending and help people break out of habits, when they start loving each other and helping one another, when they get out of their four walls and they do it in Jesus' name, then it becomes a city on a hill that cannot be ignored. And that's what we want to be. And Jesus said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. It can't be hidden. Listen, I don't want to be incognito in this neighborhood. Some people have told me, hey, I've heard a lot of people say, hey, that they didn't know this building out here was a church because we don't look like a church. We look like a factory. I know we have the name church on the outside, but I guess people don't read signs. I've had all kinds of people say, oh, you're a church? I wasn't sure exactly what you were. It's like, hello? It says community church on the outside. But listen, I don't want people to know that we're a church because there's a steeple or a cross. I want people to point to that building and say, hey, I've been in that building. Why? They helped my teenage son out who was struggling. Hey, I've been in that building. Why? Well, I helped get a job over there. They helped me out there. I've been in that building. Why? My marriage was falling apart and I got some help in there. I've been in that building. Why? Why? Because I had a cousin that was a drug addict and they helped get him on the right path and get him on a different path. I've been in that church. Why? Because I had someone, a neighbor that was struggling with depression and they suddenly changed and I've seen why. I want us to be known and not be ignored because so many people have been in this place and been touched by the power of God in this place that it cannot be ignored. A city on a hill. And then Jesus said, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Let me close with this. Listen, I believe that when it comes to light, there are two types of people. They're what I would call undercover Christians. Their light only shines in private or in the four walls of the church, but not in the community or outside. Listen, we can raise our hands and worship God and proclaim that He is good all we want within these four walls, but most of the people on the street will never experience this. We can shout Jesus is Lord in here, but it's not just what we do in here, it's what we carry out there that impacts people. And some people are undercover Christians. You have your sort of cross of Christianity, and during the week you try to shield it a lot. You go to pray for your meal and you drop the napkin. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for this. You say, well, I don't want people to think I'm a fanatic. I close like this, and you know. You have a Bible, but you put a different cover on it so it doesn't look like a Bible, and you read it for your devotions, and you don't want people to really know that you're that into it. Sort of an undercover Christian. They may think you're weird or radical or too into it. And then finally, you're kind of undercover, and you come into the church on Sunday, and then you're like, okay, now. Take the cover off your Bible. And you go to pray. You're like, hey, Jesus! And then you get ready to leave out these walls. It's okay, I got to go undercover again. And you go undercover. And what Jesus is saying, hey, how is anybody, you are light. You don't have to be light. You're already light. But how's anybody ever going to know if you're undercover? If it's hard for them to really know that you're a believer or not. And then the second kind of Christian is the lampstand Christian. The light is not covered, but lived out among people and influences many. That you're not out there standing on a box telling everybody you're a Christian, but you wear it openly and you're not ashamed of it and people know about it and you introduce it into your conversation and you talk about God and what He's done in your life just real naturally. And so if people know you for a little bit, they'll find out that you're a Christian. Why? Because Christianity is so important to your life that they're going to soon find out about it. You know, I've been married to my wife for 26 years now, and she's a real important part of my life. And so when people know me, shortly after they know me, they'll know I'm married. Why? I wear a ring, first of all. And I'll start talking about my family and they'll know that I'm married because they can't know me without knowing what's really important. If someone has known me for years and then they meet my wife and say, wow, I've known him for 15 years. I never knew you were married. I think my wife would look at me like, what? No. I don't go around and say, I have a big announcement. I'm married. And get all weird about it. I'm married. You should be married too because marriage is the best thing in the world. And my wife, here's a picture of her. People would be like, whoa, you're a little strange. No, I just have a conversation. By the way, I was talking to my wife today, man. And we went out and did this. And I have a natural conversation. And that's the way we are about Jesus. He's a part of our life. If you go up to people and say, well, I'm a Christian. You should be a Christian too. And if you're not, you're going to hell. Well, you're like, ugh. But if Jesus is a natural part of your life and you talk to Him about, I'm worshiping God and yeah, this is what I do and this is part of it. And I was praying the other day or reading my scripture and this is how I try to live. Then you naturally include it in your lifestyle because Jesus is an important part of your life. So three things I'm going to challenge you to do as I close. How do you raise your light? How do you raise your light? Number one, tell your Jesus story. Tell your Jesus story. See this flashlight I have in my hand? I got a nice big one because it's under my bed at night. Just in case. Tell your Jesus story. No one outside of the four walls of the church will know your story unless you tell it. Everybody has a Jesus story. If you know Jesus, you have a Jesus story. What He's done in your life, how you came to know Him, how He's worked in your life. Tell it. Tell your story. No one can argue with your story. You say, well, I'm not a theologian. Don't talk about theology. Talk about relationship.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago, and this was the second half of his message called Step Up to a New You. It's from our series called Step Up, Living Higher. We hope that you've enjoyed this series. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk Radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.